And welcome back to part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 1990. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. On part two, we'll hear from Phil Wayne with a look at Market Scope. We'll also have some great moments in radio with John Bowker as he looks at some of the history of our fine media. And also we have Mike Nitter via telephone who's going to tell us about some of the new policies concerning the audio service and also about the logbook, which is going to be available, and a special deal which you can get if you come to the National Radio Club Convention in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And of course, we'll tell you about the National Radio Club Convention in Pittsburgh that's coming up over Labor Day weekend. All this and more, but right now, here's John Bowker.
Historical moments in radio, recalling moments in the development of modern radio broadcasting. Hello, I'm John Bowker, and in this edition, we're going to look back at some of the events occurring during the months of August that helped shape this exciting industry. During the first decade or so of the radio broadcasting industry in the United States that started in 1920, there had been a number of attempts by the Department of Commerce and the Federal Radio Commission to regulate radio broadcasters to minimize interference and to maximize the amount of public service that radio broadcast stations could provide to the people of the country. But by 1933, the situation in most of the Western Hemisphere was so out of control that the federal regulators decided it would be wise to get all of them together at one time, at one place, and the first North American radio conference was scheduled and held in Havana, Cuba. Its purpose? To allocate available radio frequencies on an equitable basis between the countries. Right from the start, it was clear, however, that cooperation between any of the Central American and Caribbean countries would be very difficult. And on August 15th, 1933, with a stinging message from the Mexican government before them, demanding 12 clear channel frequencies for Mexico alone, the conference broke up with no agreements. Worse than that, all international broadcasting agreements that had been in place were no longer in effect, and stations were free to transmit on any frequency they chose. Well, now, in the intervening 57 years, other conferences have been convened to straighten things out, but any listener to the AM band, even in 1990, quickly recognizes that many stations the south of the border just don't behave in the same way that U.S. stations generally do. Also during the early years of broadcasting, there had been some dissatisfaction voiced with the National Association of Broadcasters due to its attempts to try to satisfy all broadcasters from all parts of the country on all matters. So it was that in August 1936, a new organization called the National Association of Regional Broadcasting Stations was formed. Its first chairman was the head of the Yankee Network in New England, and his first task? To participate in a new government industry frequency allocation plan that would ultimately make possible the operation of many new AM stations in the United States. It became evident with time, however, that such planning would be done better through a single voice, and with a few changes, the National Association of Broadcasters, the NAB, was restored as the preeminent industry voice. Edward J. Noble purchased the Blue Network from the National Broadcasting Company on August 2, 1943. He paid $8 million for it, and as a condition imposed by the FCC, he promised to sell his only owned broadcasting station, WMCA, in New York City. Mr. Noble decided to call his new purchase the American Broadcasting Company. Well, the big war, World War II, ended in 1945, and by 1947, just about everyone agreed that the next major step for broadcasting would be facsimile into the home. And so it was. In August of 1947, a firm known as Finch Telecommunications demonstrated its full-color fax system over a standard broadcasting channel for the FCC. Just imagine your daily newspaper delivered with fresh news, no more searches over the front lawn or the roof to find out where the paper boy tossed your paper. The newspaper that you look for, of course, didn't carry last night's ball scores because the game didn't get over until 10 o'clock, right? But with facsimile, the news would be minutes old. Boy, that sounds great. You know, I think I'll call up the New York Times right now and just cancel my subscription. Mr. Marconi, Guglielmo Marconi, died of a heart attack in Rome, Italy, 53 years ago this month. And it was in August 1920 that KTW first signed on in Seattle, Washington at 833 kilohertz on the dial. It later moved to 1250 kilohertz and today is known as KKFX. Other stations that trace their sign-on routes to the month of August include KSNE in Minneapolis, WAYE in Birmingham, and WWRC in our nation's capital. The laugh of the month goes to the Philco Corporation in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in August 1936. They went to the trouble of putting on a demonstration of television pictures over a seven-mile path near their offices. The pictures were quite good, but who needs it? This is John Bowker for Historical Moments in Radio.
Well, it's time now to hear from headquarters and find out what's going on with some of the policies and some news and information concerning the National Radio Club. I'd like to turn it over to Mike Nitter, who is the editor, general manager in charge of the National Radio Club. And you can write to Mike at Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024. Mike's last name is spelled K-N-I-T-T-E-R. Mike, I understand that the National Radio Club has a new book available, and it's quite interesting, to say the least.
And matter of fact, the DX Audio Service members of August will be hearing this for the first time in the head of the DX News Magazine, people. Oh. How about that for a treat?
Yeah, that's good.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the 1991 edition of the National Radio Club's AM radio log. It's available for only $16.95, and if you're from Canada, $17.95, or Canadian mailing address, I should say. And that prices are good for the U.S. and Canada NRC subscribers only, in this case, the DX Audio Service. If you're a non-DX Audio Service or NRC subscriber, it's $19.95 U.S. and $20.95 Canada. The logs will be mailed around September 10th of this year. What's new for this edition, and why is the cost so much higher than last edition? Well, for starters, it's 30% thicker. It's over 300 pages thick, comes with two cross-reference sections, and contains more station information than ever before, including telephone numbers and verification signer, people. Now, here's another treat for you. Coming to the NRC Pittsburgh Convention in Labor Day, well, Crazy Ken from the NRC Publications fame, who likes going around signing autographs, will sell you the log for only $15.50. Yep, that's right, $15.50, whether you're from Canada, China, or wherever, U.S., you name it, $15.50, plus he'll personally hand it to you at the convention. This offer is only good if you purchase the logbook at the convention, okay? Now, keep that in mind. The logbook will be mailed around September 10th of this year, and is available for only $16.95, and it's the 1991 edition.
Okay, I assume that Ken will have enough copies for all of us. I'll be looking forward to getting one myself. By the way, what is the... I know we've had some changes in policy concerning the audio service. Can you tell us a little bit about these policy changes?
This is the DX Audio Service subscriber cassette policy as issued from the NRC headquarters. Since now everybody that is hearing my voice is now a $25 rate subscriber. We no longer have the $12 rate subscriber because of numerous reasons. But anyway, here is the policies for the DX Audio Service tape subscriber. Number one, DX Audio Service subscribers have the same privileges as those of the NRC DX News Magazine subscribers and anybody else that's in the NRC, okay? Two, if you do not receive your tape by the 6th of the month, you must notify us by the 10th of the month on missing issues. Tapes are normally sent around the 20th of the previous month. We will furnish a replacement copy, however, please be advised that it may take several weeks to get that replacement copy to you. An example is this August issue. It's sent out around July 20th. If it's not in your hands by the 6th of August, then by the 10th of August, give us a call. All right? Thank you. Number three, if you receive a cassette tape that is damaged, has distorted audio. Now, slight distortion may occur from time to time. As long as you can understand my voice or the voice on the tape, then that's fine. There's no problem with it. If you have low or no audio where you can't make out the voice on the tape, then there is a problem. or if you have any other reason that you are dissatisfied with the tape, please return it along with your reason to Fred Volbe's address, okay, at the DX Audio Service address in Lima, Ohio. We are not responsible for tapes erased or partially erased due to being within the vicinity of a magnetic field. Item 4, the National Radio Club Incorporated or any of its subsidiaries or officers are not responsible directly or indirectly for any problems relating to any possible equipment malfunctions or breakdowns that may arise from the playing of the cassette. Item 5, replacement tapes for items 3 and 4 above will be sent free of charge for only the month that the tape is for. Beyond that month, replacement will be at your expense, which is $3 for the tape. Exceptions for this rule are back-ordered tapes. They will be replaced at our expense for 30 days after receipt. In other words, you get basically a 30-day warranty with the tapes on any problem. So listen to the tape as soon as you get them to make sure there ain't a problem. Any questions on this policy should be directed at me, Mike Nitter, the General Manager, National Radio Headquarters, at P.O. Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024, or you can call me at 1-608-423-4159 and leave the message on the tape or get to talk to me in person between 7 and 11 p.m. Eastern local time.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you much.
I'd also like to make a quick note that if you do have a tape which does have a problem, it is imperative that we receive the tape back at the DX Audio Service just so we can listen to it ourselves and try to see what the problem is. And, of course, you can send the tape to Mike up at NRC headquarters where he can listen to it, and he'll forward it on to me here at the DX Audio Service. But it is important that not only we know about problems, but we can try to figure out exactly what's going on. Well, speaking of trying to figure out what's going on, here is a very, very spooky man. A man with a mind like a steel trap. Unfortunately, it's been sprung for about 10 years or so. A guy who has nothing but radio on his mind. Some people have Georgia on their mind. Phil has radio on his mind. And here he is with a look at Market Scope.
KHJ, one of the most influential and successful broadcasting stations in contemporary radio history. I'm Phil Wayne with your August Market Scope, and this month, we will tune into the final moments of the Southern California legend.
93KHJ and Johnny out at 614. I hear all these rumors about, you know, and people are calling me. They're saying, we're so sorry you're leaving, Johnny. We're sorry you got canned. And I don't know, man. You think maybe you feel a bad moon rising here at 93KHJ? I don't know. KHJ 616 on the ride home. Oh boy, I got the whole thing for you. Remember the good old Temptations? Loved its classic cartoons. Another thing that comes to mind, if I were gonna really figure this was my last night on the radio here at KHJ, I'd want to dedicate a song to one of the finest gentlemen and one of the greatest disc jockeys I ever knew. He's no longer with us, but he's still my brother. Ferdinand Hanson Elliott. We called him Sweet Bobby. Papa was a DJ. No, he was a Rolling Stone. 6:23 in the nighttime. And Johnny Yount at the KHJ continuous traffic monitor. The updates at least every 10 minutes. And then I got some good oldies from the Beach Boys. Stay with me. Also coming up in just a moment, the Eastern Sierra Road Report. We'll check that too. First of all, Hollywood Freeway northbound at Barham. An accident in the right lanes. Hollywood Freeway northbound at Barham. On the San Diego southbound before El Segundo. Disabled. It's in the number one lane. San Diego southbound before El Segundo. San Bernardino eastbound past town. Earlier truck fire. They're working on it. San Bernardino eastbound past town. And let's see. Orange County on the 57 southbound at Brea Canyon. There's a disabled in your way. That's the Orange Freeway southbound at Brea Canyon. We'll check it again in just about 10 minutes. Right here at 93KHJ. Let's check the Eastern Sierra Road Report.
This is the California Highway Patrol Eastern Sierra Road and Weather Report for Friday, January 31st. This is Lieutenant Phil Downs of the Bishop California Highway Patrol Office reporting for Car Radio 93 KHJ.
I think I'll just stay here and eat yours.
Help yourself.
Oh, C&R Clothiers January clearance sale. Save 20 to 60%. Visit their stores in Anaheim, Costa Mesa, El Toro, La Habra, Newport, Westminster, Orange, or any of their 40 locations.
Car Radio weather.
Well, we got the rain, and I noticed they have revised the forecast down to around 10 to 20% chance it'll continue over the weekend. So something's happening out there, and it should be some clearing involved tomorrow. Highs in the mid-60s, overnight low down around 54. What you get out at the South Bay beaches, it's 57. Orange County was 60. Salute, it is 57 in the Valley and 59 in Hollywood.
93 KHJ.
Now everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari with me. Get in.
93KHJ at 628. Here's a song from 1967 I remember I did not get to play because I lived in a racist community. And really, they wouldn't play Stevie Wonder. What a bunch of lightweights.
I was born in the Little Rock. I was made to love. You're the way
this is RKO's 93KHJ Los Angeles. Car Radio, Southern California's official source for traffic information.
93KHJ's continuous traffic monitor at 631. And again, I want to say it. All these rumors about this was the end of KHJ and we all got fired. And just relax, will you? I mean, you know, they wouldn't go to all that. I mean, I've still got the bell. You know, don't worry about it. 405 southbound at Nordoff, an accident. That's 405 southbound at Nordoff. Out on the Golden State Freeway, southbound transition to the Santa Monica. There's a report of an accident. Golden State Freeway, southbound, the transition to the Santa Monica. Hollywood Freeway, northbound at Barham, accident. It's in the right lanes. That's the Hollywood Freeway northbound at Barham. And again, the roads being very slippery and very wet, and we're in for a little more rain, perhaps a lot more in certain areas. Use a lot of extra care and allow yourself plenty of extra time. I thank you. At 6:31, we'll check the traffic again in minutes on 93KHJ.
93KHJ. We'll
check traffic again in just about 10 minutes right here at 93KHJ.
Radio.
And at 7 o'clock, I'm Johnny Out playing your favorite oldies. And you tell me you think you're going to blow me out, man. I tell you, I'm doing a great job. I'm solid. I'm here to stay, Daddy. I'm just good.
This is Dave Sebastian Williams, and I've got it for you tonight. Woo! Stand by.
From Action Radio, go! Check! Thank you! That's the time and the temperature too. You've heard it on KHJ. Man, we're really living in Los Angeles. The wonderful KHJ.
From Los Angeles, more music.
93KHJ. 93KHJ, Million Dollar Weekend. 93KHJ. 93KHJ plays more music.
And the hits just keep on coming.
KHJ Los Angeles.
Merry Christmas from Boss Radio. God bless.
tick.
One, two, three, four, a two, tick.
The history of rock and roll. KHJ, Boss Hit Bums.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on.
93 KHJ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings. And the hits just keep on coming.
93 KHJ.
Merry Christmas, California.
93 KHJ. Who are those guys?
93 KHJ.
11 years ago today. America's number one music station.
93 KHJ, Los Angeles. Cooking all day, 24 hours a day. We start in the morning, but we never stop the night.
love Southern California. I'm from Michigan, and it's an entirely different world.
Everything is here. It's in Southern California.
No other place to live.
It's amazing, and the beaches. It's just the entire ambiance.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on. The beat goes on. The beat goes on. Beat goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on. Beat goes on.
Hey, thanks for checking in, Osh.
The call letters I never got tired of saying. KHJ, and it's a pleasure to say them one more time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you're one of the last guys to say them because the case, for those of you just tuning in wondering, you know, what's going on with the traffic, nothing, and that's been the problem with the station. It's a whole new format starting. Larry King comes on right at the news of midnight. Larry King will be explaining the whole thing to everybody. In case, if you want to call up Larry, he'll be giving the number on. You'd be sure and call Larry because he'll... explain to you. Osh, thank you very much for checking in, man. I'll talk to you over the weekend, okay?
You better believe it, Nanda. You guys carry on.
Bobby Ocean, one of the guys that was very much a part of KHJ over the years. We had a trivia question earlier. We gave away the call letters, and the question was, who were the original lineup of Boss Jocks back in 1965? And for the record, let's again run them down. They were, from 9 to noon, Roger Christian, who wrote so many of the Beach Boys songs. From noon to three, Gary Mack. From 3 to 6, the legendary, the real Don Steele. After that was Dave Diamond, who's teaching school back in the Midwest. After that, of course, came Sam Riddle. Johnny Williams did the all-night show, and myself, Robert W. Morgan. I was on from 6 to 9 every Morgan in Southern California. And speaking on behalf of all them from 93KHJ, let me say, ladies and gentlemen,
the beat goes on.
KHJ,
and goodbye, KHJ, Los Angeles.
AM 930. This is RKO Radio's KRTH, Los Angeles.
Network News. I'm Jim Sargent. There's a state of siege now in Haiti, and at least 5 people have been killed in the capital city of Port-au-Prince since the violence.
AM 930, Los Angeles. Smokin' Oldies and Larry King.
Soon, KRTH is likely to be sporting new call letters and a Spanish format. Thanks once again to Marty Rimpaugh for assistance in this month's feature. I'll see you next month with a bizarre format change and other radio excitement. For the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Wayne.
On our telephone from the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, we have John from Pittsburgh. And John, I understand you're holding the convention this year for the National Radio Club.
Yes, that's right, Fred. It'll be in Pittsburgh Friday, August 31st through Monday, September 3rd. We're inviting anyone from our membership and the DX Audio Service to please come on out.
Can you tell us a little bit about the convention? Now, normally we have the standard activities where everyone kind of shows up on Friday, and then Saturday is the banquet, et cetera. Can you kind of run down an itinerary for what is going to be happening in Pittsburgh over Labor Day weekend?
Sure. Friday, of course, is when most of the people come in. Some people have known each other from past conventions, and this is purely a great time for people who have never met each other before, first-time meetings and so forth. Later on, around 8 o'clock, we hope to have a slideshow, stations and whatnot. Then later on at midnight, I've arranged for our members to listen to the editors and the president to go on KDK Live Saturday morning. I'm arranging a bus tour, or at least a tour of a station and two transmitter sites of WEEP 1080 and KDK 1020. Later on, we'll be back at the hotel around 4, and a couple-hour break, and then our usual convention services start, a business meeting, and then a banquet. Then I'm hoping to have at least one or two speakers from the Pittsburgh radio media talk about the history of Pittsburgh radio or whatever. Usually that is pretty interesting. I know based on what happened last year in Topeka, we had two people from the Topeka media talk, and that was very interesting. Then we break for that, and then later we come back with an auction, which is usually, it is always a lot of fun because the stuff that people bring in, old radios or collection of shirts and mugs. I'm going around to stations around here and asking for donations, and people will bid on these items, and the money generated from this goes all back to the club. But it's just a lot of fun to see how much people will pay for things that are so insignificant to some people, but the money is all worthwhile. Then Sunday morning is our brunch, scheduled anywhere from 9 to 11. Then after that, we take a break, and then we'll be back with a DX quiz. Usually it's a quiz of what's happened in the past year, appearing in the club bulletin. We're hoping for some questions on the Pittsburgh radio history. And a person with the highest total usually wins a prize, either a cash prize or a free membership. And then Sunday afternoon, either having some technical talks by some of our members in the club. And then from by 1 to 4:30, I'm leaving free time open for whatever people want to do. I'm leaving an optional ride on what's called the Gateway Clipper Fleet. These boats travel up and down the three rivers of Pittsburgh, the Monongahela, the Ohio, and the Allegheny. And that'll be arranged through the members themselves, but I'm leaving that time open for them. And then in the evening is more free time, and it's usually just people will come back in the meeting room and talk or whatever.
Can you tell us a little bit about the motel itself? Where is the convention going to be located? And also some information about the room rates and where the members would call to book their rooms.
Okay, sure. The hotel is the Green Tree Marriott. It's right outside the Pittsburgh city limits. It's fairly easy to get to. It's just right off of I-279. The room rates will be 48 for a single room and 55 for a double room. That's through the whole weekend. And they can call toll-free to the hotel's local number at 1-800-525-5902. If you don't get all the information the first time, just call back again. They handle all reservations between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., and that way you should be able to get a room reservation. And please try and reserve no later than August 10th.
What side of the city is the hotel located on?
It's on the west side of the city. The hotel is just outside in the suburb of Green Tree. The parkway is just situated off to the left. The hotel is fairly huge. It's about a 460-room hotel. It's surrounded pretty much by trees, and there's a racquet club on the right. And there are some tennis courts and a swimming pool and a weight room and even a jacuzzi if anybody wanted to come in and relax. And it is a very nice hotel. Some members in the past have stayed there, and the area itself is very nice too. It's pretty convenient.
I guess to kind of put you on the spot, though, let me ask you, is it far enough away from some of the local AM stations where DXing is good?
It's away from any of the transmitter sites. All the transmitter sites are located in the northern part of the city, in the suburb part, and we're located, or the hotel's located in the western part, although there are three stations in that area, just about within a half a mile to a mile from the hotel itself. But as far as transmitter sites, there's none there to be known.
John, can you tell us a little bit about what the convention rates will be for members attending this year's convention?
Sure, Fred. The registration fee is $30 per person, and that includes the banquet and the brunch, and I'm hoping to also have like a small serving of sandwiches, Pittsburgh style, on Friday. And the $30 can be sent to me and payable to the National Radio Club. Send it to John Malicky, M-A-L-I-C-K-Y, 995 Shady Crest Road, S-H-A-D-Y-C-R-E-S-T, Pittsburgh, PA, 15216, 3023. And please mark NRC 90 convention. And they also, the Marriott has given me their information that they will have 4 handicap rooms available. So that's something if anybody's thinking about, I would pass that along too.
What kind of other activities or things can we expect to have happen in Pittsburgh? I understand there might be some sporting events.
Oh, sure. Saturday afternoon, 1:30, a tentative time put out by the University of Pittsburgh ticket office. It'll open its season against Ohio University. Then Saturday night at 8 o'clock, the Steelers end their exhibition schedule with Philadelphia Eagles at Three Rivers Stadium. Then Sunday is an open day, but Monday the Pirates are back in town and open a series against the Philadelphia Phillies, and that game starts at 1:30. But most of the people at that time will be leaving and going back home, but a few people told me they'd like to stay around and catch a ball game, and I say by all means. As far as I know, back through our National Radio Club history, this is the first time the club has ever come to Pittsburgh, the club convention. In the past, it's come to as close as Katanning and Erie, Pennsylvania, but never has come to Pittsburgh. And, of course, many people know this is the home of the pioneer broadcast station of the world, KDK. Fortunately, they are canceling all tours this year because the station is being renovated. Otherwise, I would have had a tour to the station, although it may disappoint some radio fans to know that there's nothing really of value to see at the station because they don't have anything from the past down there anymore. The station is just basically the same as all the other stations, and that's what I've been told. And but the transmitter site that I've already planned is supposed to be somewhat part of radio history. Fairly huge site. I haven't seen it myself, but from what I've been told by the engineers and another person, that it's something that we should see. And so, based on that, I'm hoping it'll please the members who do come and go on the tour.
For us poor folk in the West here, what's the easiest way to get to the convention site?
All right. Most people will probably be coming on the Ohio Turnpike, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And then from there, you want to exit onto the Perry Highway, US 19 South exit. That will get you onto I-79 South. And you'll go on that for some miles. And then eventually you'll come to the exit 21 Pittsburgh I-279 South exit. If you're coming in Friday, anywhere from around 2 to 7, I would advise not to take that exit, only because you'll be hitting rush hour traffic on Friday, and normally that would be one of the biggest crunches traffic-wise for that day. And I'd say just keep on going, and you'd come all the way down to exit 14, the I-279 North Pittsburgh exit, and take that one, and that will lead you directly all the way to the Green Tremont Lebanon exit, and there you'll take that exit and turn right, and you'll follow a little road. It's I-121, and you'll turn left onto Mansfield Avenue. That'll take you all the way down, and then the hotel is on the right.
How about some of our friends to the east? Is there a convenient way getting in from the east?
To the east, again, you'll probably be on the turnpike. You can either go one or two ways, all the way up to the US 19 South exit, and same directions coming all the way back down. Or you could exit onto I-70, come all the way there, I-70, and then exit onto I-79 North. I'm only saying because you could still come through the city off of the turnpike, the I-376 exit. It's just that on Friday, if you're in any big city, you know you're going to run into traffic problems. And here we have a pretty good amount of traffic on any weekday. And Friday, I expect that will be a fairly big traffic jam. But if you plan to come in the morning, Friday morning, or later Friday evening, you can exit onto the I-376 Pittsburgh exit, which will take you directly through the city and all the way out, and then that will turn into I-279, and from there you just go right on up the hill and exit at the Green Tree Mount Lebanon exit.
How about connections made via Amtrak and air? Is there a convenient route to get from those points to the convention site?
Well, we have one of the largest airports in the country, and we service just about all major airlines. And the hotel offers a free transportation to and from the airport, and the courtesy phones are in the baggage area. Anyone coming in by a bus or Amtrak, that will be coming in downtown, and I'm trying to arrange for anyone that's coming in to be picked up, so that way you won't have to worry about trying to make arrangements on your own for that, and we can get you up to the hotel from there, and you can call the hotel, or at least write, you know, if you are going to come in by bus or train, to write, let me know, and then I could give you some more information.
Well, we hope to see everyone at the 1990 National Radio Club Convention, which will be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, over Labor Day weekend. I'll be there, as well as some of the other editors of the DX Audio Service. And you'll get to meet everyone, ask some questions, of course, attend the business meeting. Something which I'd like to make a note about is the fact that we're working on a possibility of putting together some type of convention cassette package for people who cannot make the convention or who might just want to have some information or remembrance of the 1990 convention. We'll have details on that after we're able to finalize that. And, unfortunately, that brings to the end another National Radio Club DX audio service for this month. Next month, we'll be publishing just prior to the convention, so hopefully we'll have a lot more information for you. That's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX audio service. We'll see you in 30 days.